What does success look like when you're drowning in it? Shonda Rhimes had built an empire. Grey's Anatomy revolutionized television, Scandal made history, and her production company churned out hit after hit. Yet in 2013, she was profoundly miserable. Not the kind of unhappiness you can point to and fix, but a creeping numbness that had slowly drained all color from her life. She'd become a master at declining invitations. Jimmy Kimmel Show? No. Kennedy Center Honors? No. Speaking engagements? Absolutely not. Her excuses seemed reasonable. 3 children, multiple shows, no time. Until Thanksgiving dinner when her sister Dolores casually dropped a truth bomb. You never say yes to anything. Those 6 words detonated Shonda's carefully constructed fortress of fear. Weeks later, sitting in the presidential box at the Kennedy Center Honors beside Barack and Michelle Obama, she woke at 4 a.m. with a horrifying realization. Had she been asked rather than told to attend, she would have said no. Despite creating fictional characters who lived boldly, Meredith Grey, Olivia Pope, Christina Yang, Shonda herself had become someone who retreated from real-world experiences. Standing at this crossroads between the life she was living and the life she was missing, she made a decision that would alter everything. For 1 year, she would say yes to everything that scared her. Her first test, Jimmy Kimmel's show. For someone with stage fright, this was hell. Her mind painted disasters. Tripping on stage, excessive sweating, uncontrollable snorting laughter, or fear-induced snot shooting from her nose on national television. These weren't irrational fears. Shonda had flunked chicken bones across elegant parties and split pants without noticing. When her publicist invoked the year of yes, her eye twitched visibly. She compromised. She'd do Kimmel, but not live. The taping proved manageable. Jimmy was kind, doing most of the work while making her seem equally engaged. She faced her fear and discovered saying yes felt like stepping into sunshine after years in darkness. Then came Dartmouth's commencement speech. 16,000 people, 10 days to prepare, nothing written. Terror scorched all creativity from her brain. She started over, writing something honest. Graduation morning, she waited for panic. It never came. At the podium, seeing the sea of graduates, she recognized herself 20 years earlier. Their fear about the future exceeded hers about speaking. In that moment, visible on video, she exhaled her last breath of fear and became someone new. One of the most liberating aspects of Shonda's year of yes was being honest about motherhood. When her nanny Jenny told her, "I'm your nanny too, because Shonda, you need a nanny," she felt profound relief rather than insult. For years, she'd given reporters evasive answers about organization and late-night laundry when asked how she balanced everything. The truth was simpler. She had help. Before having children, Shonda was sanctimonious about mothers who hired help. Then she found herself wearing formula-stained pajamas, trying to write an overdue script with 8-week-old Harper strapped to her chest. She finally understood. The shame we put on mothers who need assistance is both rude and sexist. No man has ever had to apologize for having help with his home and children. She also rejected the phrase, "Motherhood is a job." Jobs can be quit. Motherhood redefines us, attaches our hearts to tiny humans, and sends them into the world. Now she could answer reporter questions honestly. "Jenny, to do it all, I have Jenny."
In a Carolina Herrera ball gown, Shonda faced a pivotal moment when Emerson asked, "Wanna play?" She kicked off her heels and said yes. They read "Everyone Poops" and danced. When Emerson pressed against her chest and declared, "You are still alive," everything changed. Shonda decided whenever her children asked to play, the answer would always be yes. She set boundaries. No weekend work unless emergencies, no emails after 7 p.m., home by 6 p.m. for dinner. Though she failed often, she recognized downtime as essential. "Wanna play?" became her code for self-indulgence. Manicures, bookstore browsing, baths with Aretha Franklin, wine and chocolate in silence. The more she played, the happier she was at work, a virtuous cycle that transformed her life. When Shonda began her year of yes, she was obese, the biggest she'd ever been. Her knees hurt, her joints ached, and she had sleep apnea and high blood pressure. The turning point came on an airplane when she couldn't buckle her first-class seatbelt. Rather than ask for an extender, she chose potential death, then imagined her funeral, her extra-large coffin, the tent they'd need to dress her in. With three children depending on her, she had to face reality. She realized she'd been saying yes to being fat all along. Food created a top coat, smoothing down ragged bits, filling holes. Underneath, everything was smooth, cold, and numb. But after the airplane seatbelt incident of 2014, being numb felt creepy, like rotting. She gave herself a choice: say yes to being healthy or yes to being fat. She chose health on March 8, 2014. By March 1, 2015, she'd lost almost 100 pounds through no specific diet or surgery, just seeing her doctor, exercising, drinking water, and eating reasonable portions. Inside this body, she finally felt okay about being seen. At an Elle magazine dinner celebrating women in TV, Shonda noticed every accomplished woman deflected praise with embarrassment. She did the same, later exclaiming, "Did you notice not a single woman in this room can handle being told she is awesome? What is wrong with us?" This became her next yes challenge, learning to accept compliments gracefully with a simple thank you. This proved incredibly difficult. She deflected compliments about her show with, "I'm just so lucky," or, "It's everyone who works with me." The word lucky particularly bothered her. It implied she hadn't earned her success through hard work. She wasn't lucky. She was smart, talented, and hardworking. She was a badass. Her first attempt was pathetic, a terrifying forced smile. But when Dr. Chain complimented her good uterus, she simply said thank you, smiled, and shut up. She got it right. As she practiced, it got easier. She realized rejecting compliments actually insults the giver. Real badassery means owning your accomplishments without apology. She embraced Muhammad Ali's philosophy: it's not bragging if you can back it up. Her friends noticed immediately. She talked more, filled rooms differently, looked happier. Badassery is contagious. Shonda confronts her deepest truth. Despite loving weddings, she never wanted marriage, a stark contrast to her certainty about adopting children. Her childhood Kara doll never wore a bridal gown. Instead, Kara attended college and ran spy organizations. Even her parents' 50-plus year marriage didn't change her mind. Pre-year of yes, she convinced herself she wanted marriage, but writing is her true passion, the hum, the high, the track to be laid. Like Christina Yang, whom she imbued with her own ambivalence, she loves something greater than romance. Saying yes to this truth was her hardest yes. When she finally admitted it and they broke up, she felt overwhelming relief. Her happy ending isn't the same as anyone else's. Happiness comes from being who you actually are instead of who you're supposed to be. What began as her sister's simple challenge became life-saving. Years of saying no were her quiet withdrawal from life. Now, her year of yes has become forever. Saying yes is courage. Saying yes is the sun. Saying yes is life.